This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Our Secretary of State will return to Tel Aviv today and continue his mission. Anthony Blinken made stops in Egypt and Jordan over the weekend to urge Arab nations to work together and keep the conflict from expanding and to seek a location for Gaza refugees. Speaking in Cairo yesterday, Blinken said he's making clear the United States stands with Israel while calling for additional aid to deal with the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Senator Lindsey Graham is warning Iran not to get involved in the war between Israel and Hamas. The South Carolina Republican says he plans to introduce a Senate resolution that would allow the United States to deploy troops to join Israel to knock Iran out of the oil business. Graham also relayed concerns about Hezbollah involvement from Lebanon on Israel's northern border. He said that more than 90% of the funding for Hamas and Hezbollah comes from Iran. A vote for new Speaker of the House is expected tomorrow. House Democrat Whip Catherine Clark said the vote for Representative Jim Jordan will happen, but it's unclear if Jordan will gather enough votes to secure his position. While the GOP holds a slight majority in the House, only four votes can be lost for Jordan to take the gavel. A vote took place after Jordan secured the nomination on Friday, with the total coming up short of the 217 needed. A stabbing in Chicago Saturday that killed a 6-year-old boy and injured his mother is being called a hate crime. The family's landlord is being charged with first-degree murder, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and 2 counts of a hate crime. Evidence gathered suggests the family was targeted due to their Islamic faith and the Israel-Hamas war. The suspect was taken into custody and is awaiting a court appearance. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you listening. We are USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Three people were injured Saturday night after a shooting at the Texas State Fair. The incident prompted a mass evacuation where the fair can draw crowds of over 100,000 or more. A suspect who fled from the scene was later apprehended by police and taken into custody. Conditions for the injured are unknown. The fair reopened at 2 p.m. yesterday and is expected to run through next weekend. Democrats' two-term hold on the governorship of Louisiana will come to an end after Republican State Attorney General Jeff Landry won the seat Saturday by capturing a majority in an all-party primary. Landry had more than 51% of the vote. The victory precedes 2 more red state governor elections this fall. Democrat Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky is seeking a second term on November 7th, and Republican Governor Tate Reeves is doing the same in Mississippi. Taylor Swift may be the savior for the movie theater industry.
Taylor Swift's The Eras Tour film grossed a whopping $39 million on Friday, October 13th, placing it alongside other blockbusters like Spider-Man No Way Home at $39.2 million and Joker at $39.4 million. The concert movie has a chance at becoming the biggest October opening of all in North America if it surpasses Joker, according to Comscore. By the end of the weekend, Taylor Swift The Eras Tour will likely become the top-grossing contemporary music concert film of all time, potentially passing Justin Bieber's Never Say Never movie released in 2011. I'm Skip Kelly.
Lance Pry, USA News.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Bill Martinez.
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with you, along with James Hurston, New York Times best-selling author, of course, media and legal analyst. Mr. James, how are we doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you, Bill?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. I'm looking forward to your legal analysis because we're going to talk some SCOTUS stuff and something that I've been long waiting for, and that is the Supreme Court may help restore free speech on social media. Imagine that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about two very important cases that both deal with state legislatures trying to rein in the discriminatory speech practices of big tech companies. That's kind of a mouthful, but you know what? Mm-hmm. What's amazing to me is to see the way the mainstream media has reported on the Supreme Court taking it up. It's completely different than what you just said and what I just said. The mainstream media is saying the Supreme Court is going to uphold or seek to uphold the right of social media platforms to curate content. Now, isn't that a cute way of saying that they're hoping, the mainstream media is hoping, that the Supreme Court will allow big tech companies to censor? Because that's what they're doing.
Exactly.
Of course, we all know that overwhelmingly what is called controlling misinformation ends up as censorship of the right. Censorship of
look what they did, James. They interfered with the 2020 election, full stop. And that's not even brought into play here, right?
No, and it will be, I believe, if counsel and amicus counsel will bring it up, because essentially, I mean, the Twitter files and Elon Musk allowing access to the Twitter files, along with additional whistleblowers on other social media sites, has proven that the United States government tried to basically control this misinformation action to the point where the U.S. government was either influencing, urging, but involved in the censorship of conservative content and of any content.
Exactly.
RFK Jr., for example, any content that went against their favored narrative. And that's their narrative on foreign policy, on health care, and on domestic issues, on education, all these different things. So two of the states, and two red states, Texas and Florida, did it legitimately. The legislatures enacted the laws in accordance with representative democratic principles and put together laws that would, in fact, curtail the blocking, removing, demonetizing content, in other words, censorship, in a discriminatory way, which mm-hmm. they have done. And so, of course, this a group of trade organizations that are big tech trade organizations started going up the appellate ladder at the federal level. But now we're hearing that the Supreme Court's going to take this up. So this is a big potential.
Oh, this is huge. Absolutely.
Landmark case. And it's something that the United States, we've been suffering with, if the people have been suffering with. You know, we're talking about a singular foundational principle of not having totalitarianism. We know that historically every government that sought to control its people exercised censorship. Mm-hmm. The Soviet Union being the most famous with its news outlet, Pravda, which now looks exactly the same as MSNBC. MSNBC is no longer a legitimate news organization. They only report items they choose to report that are favorable to the rulers of this country and to the elite.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And anytime there's anything counter, MSNBC attacks it. And so now what we see, for example, the perfect example is the coverage of Matt Gaetz. I should use mm-hmm. his pronunciation. I don't like to do that because it reminds me of Bill Gates. But anyway, Matt Gaetz is on MSNBC is treated as if he's a serial killer. And there's no objectivity in the reporting. And, of course, lying behind that story is a narrative. And it's a surprising narrative because it has nothing to do with the Speaker of the House per se. Mm-hmm. It's Ukraine. And haven't right. you noticed that anyone who questions where the billions of dollars are going of taxpayer money and even wants accountability for where it goes, they are attacked as being a stooge of Putin? Just like Tucker Carlson was. Just
right,
like, I mean,
right.
Anyone.
And Donald Trump before that. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. So anyone on that particular narrative, and we could come up with half a dozen narratives. So it's obviously not just big tech. But one of the things that the social media companies are trying to do is to say, look, every conduit that conveys news information is allowed editorial discretion. That's the word that's used. And that's true of newspapers. That's true of journalistic platforms. But that's not what social media is. Social media is user-generated content.
Yes. Explain to people so they understand the difference between, you know, user provided content or being a publisher, because now we're talking Section 230 that comes into play, right?
That's right. And Section 230 was designed to protect the internet in its infancy so it could grow. And mm-hmm. Section 230 protects the social media platforms from being sued for things like defamation and invasion of privacy, things that newspapers and publishers are sued on every day.
Mm-hmm.
So newspapers and publishers are exposed to that, and the difference is very simple. Social media platforms do not create content. They are merely a conduit. As a matter of fact, both Texas and Florida said they're like, in the law, they call a common carrier. That is like a phone company.
Exactly.
It's a utility. And so they should not be given the same protection, obviously, that a newspaper would, or now we have news outlets would, and who generate their own content and are supposed to be reporting the news. But in any case, so these are two different cases, one dealing with Texas, one dealing with Florida. with the Supreme Court, it's narrower than just the issue of free speech, because it's what it's asking is, can a state, with using its state legislative power, basically protect its citizens from discrimination from these large social media platforms? What's going to come into it, even though it's not an antitrust case, is the fact that Facebook and Instagram, particularly combined, owned by the same owner, is a monopoly.
Exactly. James got to go to quick break. Let's pick it up on the other side. More from James Hurston after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It was your best vacation ever. You on a beach having a great time. Then some stranger walked up and said, "Hey, how'd you like to come here for the rest of your life?" And then he went on and on about how much money you could save. You listened, saw his presentation, ended up signing a contract. And now, 5 years later, you have a timeshare you never use. But you're still paying for it. That's the contract. But what if we could show you a legal way to end the contract and get out of your timeshare nightmare? It's called Timeshare Exit Defense. Our lawyers will work with the gigantic timeshare company lawyers and get you out of your agreement. No more maintenance fees, no more payments. Call now. Get your free ebook to learn how to exit your timeshare.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. As incredible as it may sound, there are people in our own backyards who haven't yet heard the good news about Jesus. It's our calling, our mandate as Christians, to ensure that every single soul on earth has a chance to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's why the Tide Ministry is encouraging you to bring our mission into your community through our Have You Heard Challenge. The challenge is to ask at least 10 people if they've heard what Jesus did for them. If someone responds that they've not heard, then share the love of Christ with them. If they embrace Christ, they can join the challenge and share the gospel themselves. Sometimes all it takes is a simple question to open the door to a meaningful conversation. To learn more about the Tide Have You Heard Challenge and how you can join a growing number of believers who are actively sharing their faith in their own communities, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
We're back. back with you 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. James Herson continues with us, the best-selling author, media, and legal analyst. James, as you were saying, and helping us understand, you know, the difference here, with SCOTUS picking up, the issue of social media and the platforms, you know, I find it quite ironic. Here they are, you know, claiming that they are the protectors of disinformation when they themselves clearly were the purveyors of said disinformation, and they continue on that course because they will not allow you. Because once you do not allow free speech to occur, then you're censoring just by the process, are you not?
Well, that's exactly right. One of the worst is, of course, Google-owned YouTube, which is censoring religious content, political mm-hmm. content.
You can't talk about COVID.
You can't go against Fauci's narrative. And the fact is, they have eliminated not just Google, but Google, Facebook, and the old Twitter. They took our elected officials and basically canceled their accounts. I mean, people
right.
like senators, Ron Johnson, like President Donald Trump, were removed. Now yeah. they're back on X, Twitter X. But, you know, and here's the other thing. On the side of really, which really is a First Amendment issue, of free speech, because free speech is speech that's not discriminated against, especially when we're talking about a conduit. Well, the tech companies say, well, if you don't allow us the ability to clean our platforms from this dangerous stuff, it's going to create a danger to our democracy, you know, and to our country. And what are they talking about? They're talking about vague speech, bullying, extremism, and the worst category of all, hate speech.
Yeah.
Hate speech is not and never should be something that is not protected. Because one person's hate speech is another person's criticism.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. And they only look, the left only looks and defines hate speech as criticism of their side.
Mm-hmm.
So anything for a good example is if a parent puts up their concerns about their children being sexualized in primary grades, that there are lots of people who work in social media platforms who call that hate speech.
Right, so, exactly.
And at the same time, smartly, but both Texas and Florida put in carve-outs. They said, you know what? If you want to regulate pornography, you want to regulate incitement, you want to regulate when foreign governments have speech that undermines America, fine. We'll carve that out of our legislation. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are time-tested, you know, there are Supreme Court decisions over the years that has looked at obscenity and incitement and categories like that, and they're pretty well defined legally. But hate speech is not, and extremism is ridiculous. It could be whatever you want it to be.
Well, yeah, it becomes subjective, you know, exactly.
It's subjective, exactly. And but anyway, that's why this is going to be a test, and particularly a test of the, you know, the more unpredictable part of the conservative wing of the Supreme Court, which includes, of course, the Chief Justice. It includes Kavanaugh and Barrett. And so, you know, it's just that we pretty much can predict that these cases will be decided in a partisan manner by the three liberals. I mean, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so we'll see what but hopefully the conservative majority will hold and they'll decide in favor of the kind of Internet that fosters free speech. And that's the way the Internet started, and that's the way these social media companies began, with a promise, essentially,
mm-hmm.
Right. We're going to stay neutral. We're not going to get involved. And all of a sudden, the leftist agenda changed that promise. And so,
what are they going to do, James? About
media is really important. You know,
No doubt. Well, it commands so many impressions. I mean, gosh, I remember you and I when we were growing up, the importance of the FCC and how they controlled the media companies, how many radio stations could be owned by any one entity, and they couldn't own both the newspaper and radio stations in the same market. It was all very regulated. And then now you go into the wild frontier of social media and the numbers, the quantitative numbers that these social media platforms are commanding. I mean, they're just humongous. And so what do you think is the best case scenario that we can draw out of this? Because, the people definitely want to be able to have a free platform. Thank God for Elon Musk and what he's done with X. I'm curious to see how he is managing, the foreign intervention of these bots and, that are, entering into the social media stream as well.
Yeah, I think that, and I was saying, so the importance of social media influencers are more important than movie stars, television stars, sports stars. They have more influence. And that's why they're constantly being, politicians are trying to buy them. But when you look at the combined influence of TikTok and X and Facebook and YouTube, that is such a powerful and relatively small group of concerns. And so the idea that, go start your own social media company, the left said a few years ago. It's absurd. Well, go start your own phone company. Go start your own
company.
Mm-hmm. That's more like it. So these things have to, these entities, we have to have tools to stop them from censoring and discrimination. And one of those tools are state legislatures. But there's others. You mentioned Section 230, which should be hammered down, or abolished. And the third big one is antitrust law, which is a law that's used politically and selectively, but should be used in this case when you have companies that own multiple entities and have grown to a point where there's unfair business competition occurring, and that is true of all of these owners.
Well, and the other thing that they've done, James, you say, well, go and start your own utility. Well, you go ahead and do that, and then they find ways to stick a stick in your spokes, like what they did with Tumblr, remember?
Yeah, oh, sure. No, there's no doubt about it. But it's amazing. Yeah, when you mention Tumblr, it's really amazing what has happened with Rumble and with Truth Social and with Getter and with streaming media and podcasts. It's been so powerful that now we have voices like Joe Rogan and Tucker and others that are have gotten so strong. But the elite wants to roll that back, which they've done. Trudeau has done that in Canada.
Yes.
Yeah, now,
exactly.
As the podcasters and independent journalists, the only source of truth, he's got them where they have to register with the government, and the government is going to regulate them, which is outrageous. It's going to be fought. But in the Canadian system, I'm not sure what happens in there.
Everything is so precarious under Trudeau because he admires President Xi and communism so much. He's made it quite obvious. So freedom is not reigning in Canada like it used to. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely, and that's our future if we're not successful in so many of these efforts. It's kind of interesting that one of the champions being Texas, I think this is part of the reason we saw Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of
Texas. James Herson, the best-selling author, media and legal analyst, has been with us. James, as always, appreciate the insight. Take care.
All right. Thank you very much, Bill. Keep up the great work.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
A psoriasis flare-up can make a walk in the park, well, no walk in the park.
It's that obvious, huh? I've tried so many lotions and creams, but I still have symptoms.
So those don't do enough to treat the inflammation beneath the skin, leaving you with those uncontrolled symptoms.
Makes sense, but what else can I do?
You can get real with your dermatologist so they can help you get clear. Make an appointment and, oh, you're already on it.
Hi, yes, I'd like to make an appointment.
Get real clear about psoriasis at letsgetrealclear.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
USA News Update. Our Secretary of State will return to Tel Aviv today and continue his mission. Anthony Blinken made stops in Egypt and Jordan over the weekend to urge Arab nations to work together and keep the conflict from expanding and to seek a location for Gaza refugees. Speaking in Cairo yesterday, Blinken said he's making clear the United States stands with Israel while calling for additional aid to deal with the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. A vote for new Speaker of the House is expected tomorrow. House Democrat Whip Catherine Clark said the vote for Representative Jim Jordan will happen, but it's unclear if Jordan will gather enough votes to secure his position. While the GOP holds a slight majority in the House, only 4 votes can be lost for Jordan to take the gavel. A vote took place after Jordan secured the nomination on Friday, with the total coming up short of the 217 needed. Lance Pry, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We're back with you. Welcome. Good to have you with us. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can check it out, BillMartinezShow.com. You know, it's a truth as old as time, as they say. If you're not changing, you're not growing. Of course, change is tough, and many organizations struggle to adapt to the changing times and consumer habits. But that's the thing about change. It doesn't wait for us to feel ready, right? It thrusts itself on us at a moment's notice and forces us to change or suffer the consequences. Those that thrive have one thing in common. We call it resiliency. The current economic, political, environmental, and social climate is prompting change at an unprecedented pace, and prioritizing resiliency is more important than ever. According to a Deloitte report, 84% of business leaders say they're factoring resiliency into their organization's future. To tell us more about it is Jay Upchurch. He's the Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer at SAS. Jay, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you having me today.
Well, you conducted your own survey in late December of 2022 to understand what companies are doing to build resiliency into their organization and what others should do to follow their lead, right?
We did. We did. Let me give you just a little bit of background on SAS and kind of why we led or why we led our way to this study. Mm-hmm. The world-leading artificial intelligence and analytics software and services company. For nearly 50 years, we have empowered our customers around the globe to use artificial intelligence and analytics to make data-driven decisions in moments that matter. When we're thinking about resiliency, especially in the face of what's going to end up being 2024, a fourth year of ongoing disruption and economic ambiguity, we were fascinated by watching companies that thrived in the face of uncertainty, not merely just fought for survival. And so we did. We kicked off our own study, 2,400 senior executives from large companies representing a number of different industries, manufacturing, healthcare, government, and others, back in the end of 2022 and into early 2023. That study was conducted with a number of in-depth interviews, talking to senior leaders about their perception of resiliency in their company. Mm-hmm. And the results were absolutely fascinating.
Well, you identify five principles that organizations need to adapt and keep pace or outpace market changes. And this is what you derive from the study. Explain that to our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things that were interesting was, one, first, 81% of those that we surveyed said that, yes, absolutely, resiliency is attainable. While it may sound somewhat ambiguous of, okay, how are you resilient or how can you achieve it, 81% said absolutely something can be achieved. And over 90% of those surveyed said, hey, data and analytics is critical to achieve it. The other thing that was interesting before we get into the rules was that 97% said absolutely resiliency is a business imperative in today's age, but only 47% said they're actually resilient. That is a massive gap. That's what we call our resiliency gap. And that is ultimately the gap between what is rhetoric and reality. So as we did our survey and we attempted to understand companies' perceptions of their own level of resiliency, kind of came up with a resiliency index, if you will, between low, moderate, and high across these companies. Mm-hmm. And for those companies that were highly resilient, we found five themes that rose above all others, and those are what we're calling our five resiliency rules. Mm-hmm. Out of those five, I'll walk you through them real quick. First of all, speed and agility. Fairly self-explanatory, but clearly an organization's ability to pivot and make a change. Number two is innovation. So, again, continuing to think about how you do your jobs differently, more innovative in a different way today than you did yesterday. Number three, all around equity and responsibility. This is obviously the ability to build up trust in your employees with your brand, your consumers, your partners with your brand, and doing things the right way. Number four, data, culture, and literacy. Again, as we mentioned before, data is paramount to achieving resiliency. And we want to make sure that, and what was fascinating was that so many companies led with a data-first, data-driven mindset in all actions and activities. And then last but not least, curiosity. Again, the ability to seek out new information, explore new possibilities, and ask the right questions that will prepare you for what may be around the corner of the future.
And I like the way these rules are laid out, Jay, because there's balance there. It's not any one of these things driving the culture. These offer a sense of balance. So, you know, like some organizations, I mean, for a long time there, they didn't want to get involved with data. It's like, wait, that's too much. That's for the geeks. Leave it alone. But then they started to see, you know, it's kind of like baseball, you know, when you remember how baseball made its transition in looking at data. So businesses started looking at data and had to figure a way to blend this into the culture. And these resiliency rules, kind of says what I thought would happen. And that, after everything was all said and done, it wouldn't necessarily be driven by any one component, because you've got the human issue involved here. You've got to be empathetic, and there has to be that opportunity for people to be curious and to be involved in the business growth and development, right?
So you're spot on, exactly right. You cannot achieve resiliency just by doubling down on one of those five. You need the right mix, the right cocktail, if you will, between those five items to eventually achieve resiliency in your business. I'll give you an example. Running fast, pivoting quickly, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're resilient. Mm-hmm. Right? That doesn't necessarily mean that you're making the right decisions and the right changes. You're just constantly changing. And in a race, you're zigzagging. You know you're not going to complete the race faster than your competition.
Right.
Same thing with data, culture, and literacy. People can say that they're going to be data-driven or data-first, but if you don't have a good appreciation for a data-first mindset, so call that good data management, hygiene, and governance, you're never going to really harness the power of data and analytics to improve the resiliency of your company. So you're right, and those are just two quick examples, but you've got to have the right mix of all five. You've got to value all five, and you've got to lean into all five as an organization. So it has to be company-wide. It cannot be, you know, a small group of people in the company that believe it. It's got to be sponsored by the executive team, right? The board's got to appreciate it. They have to understand that there is a solid ROI in the investment of business resiliency.
Exactly. And your people are such an important asset. And this really, when you consider the resiliency rules, it really it honors your employee, doesn't it?
It does, and that actually speaks to SaaS. So we are obviously known as the founder of artificial intelligence and AI. We're also a pioneer in corporate culture. So we've been well known as a great place to work and an employer that has consistently displayed resiliency by withstanding the challenges of the day. So it absolutely speaks to at the heart of what SaaS is.
So you're walking the walk is what you're telling me here, Jay.
We are. Now, I wouldn't say we're doing it perfectly by any stretch of the imagination, but I think we have demonstrated it consistently for almost 50 years now. A couple of things.
But the fact is, you're aware of it, Jay. That's the first part, and that's what this report will do in helping other companies. Is when they see this, they're going to measure themselves up against these standards and say, "Whoa, where are we?" And as you said, there were some who found themselves quite lacking. Well, they got a choice to make. They can step it up and do better and be better, or just say, "Well, we'll continue on." And those are the organizations that are going to get surpassed by their competition, right?
You're again spot on. There are there's a resiliency assessment tool that kind of came out of our study, and it was not designed at the get go for where we were going with to try to create this tool, but it kind of fell out of our research. It's available. Any company can go out there and take the survey yourself. Again, it's free for your use. It's just a great opportunity for you to kind of do a self-assessment, see how you stack up against your peers. And as you take that assessment, the series of questions that are there, it really makes you reflect a bit on how you run your business, the things that are important to you, where you invest, and why. And so I think it's a great tool to not only kind of measure you up against that resiliency index, if you will, but it forces you to stop and think about the activities that you undertake every day. I'll give you an example on the curiosity. We are all driven by results, sometimes ruthlessly, and that doesn't give us time to go into off the airplane mode and drive your own curiosity.
Well, good stuff there, Jay. I appreciate it. Jay Upchurch has been our guest, Vice President and Chief Information Officer at SAS. Thanks again for joining us. Take care. Have a great day.
Imagine, it's the final game of the season, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are making a comeback. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and if you or your business owe money to the IRS, I've got great news for you. Tax laws have changed. Billions of dollars are earmarked for IRS Fresh Start programs. And if you qualify, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. Listen, I know what you're going through. Call me if you want to speak with a tax attorney or tax professional for free.
800-247-1498. That's 800-247-1498.
Exergen thermometers are proven to be more accurate than non-contact thermometers. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Clinical studies have proven that non-contact thermometers are inaccurate and can miss fevers. Accuracy matters. That's why the Exergen thermometer is trusted and used by medical professionals. Exergen thermometers are available at Walgreens and other participating retailers. Choose a trusted and accurate thermometer for personal use. Learn more about why accuracy matters at Exergen.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please, don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Welcome back. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez with him. You know, anytime we can talk about a win for education, we like to do that. Because it encourages everybody that, look at, you know, the fight continues here. I mean, we've got to reclaim public education for the sake of our kids. It has gotten out of hand, as we know. It's quite obvious. We're thankful for COVID, I guess, in that regard, that it exposed what was happening in the classroom. And parents, those doggone domestic terrorists that they are, decided that, no, wait a minute, we need to take control of our classrooms. God bless them for doing that. Well, North Carolina, good news here, has become the 10th state to enact universal school choice. Now, explaining what all this means is the Focus on the Family staff writer and communications liaison is sharing a brief overview of this new law and the effect it will have on both parents and kids. Zachary Mettler joins us. Zach, welcome back. Good to have you with us. How are you?
Bill, I'm doing well. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Good news here. I'm excited to talk about this. The 10th state. So, states are continuing to take back the public classroom. Maybe we can keep pushing to the degree that all things that have to do with public education would, originate from the state and not from the federal government anymore.
Yeah, that's right. And you mentioned COVID being kind of a blessing in disguise in this way. And I think a lot of parents, when their kids were home, were really surprised at what their kids were learning. And so this has, I think, sparked a lot of good changes in our education system. And one of that being now in North Carolina, you mentioned becoming the 10th state in the union to provide universal school choice. And that happened earlier this year. The state's General Assembly, they passed a budget that triples funding for the state's Opportunity Scholarship Program, and that also ends income restrictions for obtaining a private school voucher. So starting next year, every family in the state will be able to apply for a school voucher to pay for the cost of attending a K-12 private school if they want. And previous awards were up to almost $7,000 per student. So this is great news. And I hope other states, I think Texas is now considering similar legislation. Florida recently passed a universal school choice bill. So this is great, and more states are moving in this direction. And that's great and heartening news.
Now, you say a voucher. How will this voucher, is this paid annually or is this a monthly voucher?
As far as I know, it just covers the cost of the student attending the school. I'm not sure exactly what the specifics are for
the
that.
The breakdown is?
But they can get up to $7,000 per student per school year to attend a K-12 private school. You know, this is really important because I think our nation, and this is not going to be news to you, but it's really in dire need of better education.
No doubt.
Earlier this year, I saw a report that said 13 different high schools in Baltimore City didn't have a single student that had achieved grade-level proficiency in math, and in the district's top five performing schools, only 11% were proficient in math. And in Minnesota, the state's Department of Education earlier this year found that during the 2022 and 2023 school year, Minnesota had 75 schools that had a 0% proficiency in math. And this is just absolutely tragic. And so our nation's kids are suffering as a result of this, and school choice, I think, is one of the ways that we slowly get out of this mess.
Well, it's disgusting. I mean, for all the money, taxpayer money that's invested to educate our children, and this is what we get. See, and the challenge we have, Zach, and I hate to bring it back to the political, but between the teachers' unions and these Democratic states in particular, they are resistant to, answering the call on behalf of these kids. Somehow they keep on thinking, as they always do, is that we just need more time. And, we always need more money. So we get time, more money, we'll be able to make it work. Well, wait a minute. You've been doing this for decades. You've had control of public education, and this is what it's been reduced to. I mean, they've got some serious issues here. And it seems that between the unions and the whole system itself, I'm not hearing that that they want to do anything about this, to do some soul searching and say, look at, schools underperforming like this. This is an indictment on the system. And, for the kids' sake, we've got to do something about it. But are you hearing something like where they're getting together and addressing this issue? Or is it just, this too will pass. It goes through the, news cycle. People forget. And meanwhile, parents got to go to work. So the kids will go back to these schools. It'll continue to dumb them down.
Yeah, no, it does seem to be expanding. And I think this is great news. I mentioned Texas is now also considering universal school choice. Now it'd be a huge victory if Texas would enact that. And there are other schools other states that are working on this as well. But I think it's heartbreaking, really, to think of all the students today who are just never going to live up to their potential to become tomorrow's doctors or engineers or teachers or lawyers because our education system is really failing them.
Exactly.
The foundation, they've put out great resources explaining that school choice, contrary to what many may hear, it provides great benefits to students. It's good for student safety. It increases parental satisfaction and involvement. It provides options for low-income families, and it leads to higher graduation rates as well. So many on the left and teachers' unions especially don't like school choice because it kind of breaks the control that these school districts have over kids and over the education system. But in basically every measure, school choice really is good for students and good for parents and their involvement as well.
Well, competition is healthy. I mean, this would cause, and especially where public education is right now, with all the resources and funding that the taxpayer gives them, I mean, they've got a lot in their corner to do something about it. I mean, right now, parents are making individual decisions, and even if we come up with 7,000, for some reason, that seems a little bit low, because I think public school systems are getting, more than that per child. And, in my humble opinion, whatever dollars that we've been investing per child in the public school system, that should follow the child. To me, that's the optimum. I mean, if that's what's allowed, then allow the parent to utilize and leverage that investment, for their children to get them in, a better school or whatever it is that's involved, even so much as a tax credit if they decide to homeschool.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea. And I mentioned Florida, but Florida, after passing universal school choice earlier this year, many on the left and many were denigrating this bill and saying that, this is going to destroy schools and destroy Florida's education system and that parents weren't going to want it. But now, in the most recent school year, an additional 90,000 Florida students have become enrolled in private schools and other education programs using those state scholarships that the school choice bill had passed. So this is obviously something that parents want. And that's not surprising because, again, I think especially through COVID, we saw a bunch of school districts just go off the deep end. I mean, I wrote about the Chicago Public School District. They eliminated all sex-specific restrooms in their entire school district of, I think it's like 340,000 kids. Wow. So you don't have any boys and girls restrooms. Now you have all gender restrooms with just single stalls. You have men's plus is what they called it, which has urinals and stalls. And you have women's plus, which just has stalls. And so you have these kids, 340,000 kids, and now being indoctrinated into this gender ideology as a result of one school district's decision. And so this is just, I think, absolute madness. And parents are trying to take back their education that favors their kids now.
Exactly. Well, and, when you add it all up, the indoctrination of the public school system into areas that really it should not be their responsibility, that belongs to the parents. And I can understand how this kind of crept in. And that is that you had some, young girls experiencing, their first menstrual cycle and coming to school, and parents, for whatever reason, didn't educate their child, or maybe they felt, okay, it wasn't time yet, whatever, but then it happens at school, and then the school nurse and the teachers go, oh my goodness, this is terrible, we need to do this. Parents, just aren't on top of this. And I haven't heard anything, from parents that are coming together in some sort of unified voice, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Zach, but I'm not hearing from parents saying, oh, I'm sure glad that public school education is teaching my kids about sex, because I just am too busy, and it's just something that, it's awkward, and I'm not sure how to talk to my kid about it, and I don't want to address it, so if I can't find a local pastor, then, we'll just go ahead and, lean and count on the teachers to do this. And the unintended consequences is that the curriculum that they want to teach your kid and what you may approve of is counter-opposing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. And it kind of depends on where you're talking about. Yeah, in Chicago, you're right. I haven't really seen any stories of parents kind of pushing back against this kind of thing. But that's not true in other states, in other areas. I think of Loudoun County, for example, where I think mm-hmm. last year or the year before that we saw a bunch right. of parents rise up and protest the different books and things. One of them was named Gender Queer, that just had a bunch of graphic sexual content. And as a result of parents' involvement, the school district decided to pull the books from the library. So we've, mm-hmm. and especially in Florida, we've seen this happen where parents have gotten involved and made a real difference. So it's very important that parents are involved in their children's education, both in just knowing what their children are being taught, but also mm-hmm. getting engaged and showing up at school board meetings. And we've seen that over the past couple of years, and it's been very heartening. And so I'd encourage, all your listeners, if they want to make sure they know what their children are being taught in schools and want to provide a free resource to kind of know what to do, you can go to thedailycitizen.org and scroll down to our free resources tab. And there we have created a guide called Back to School for Parents, which will help you navigate your children's public school.
Great idea. Well, the thing is so ironic is that in some of these school board meetings, you have parents reading the books and the board members will say, you don't need to do that. No, wait a minute. Everybody here has kids. We're here and we're talking about this. Are you aware this is the kind of language? And you think that most of these board members have no clue whatsoever when they're confronted with parents who have the power of the truth on their side and saying, hey, these are the books that you're sharing with my kids. And they're embarrassed themselves to hear this, right?
Yep, exactly right.
Unbelievable. Zachary Mettler has been our guest. He is a Focus on the Family staff writer and communications liaison. Zachary, thank you so much for being with us. Take care.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted
Precious Metals Company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.